It's Classical Spotlight, and speaking with harpist Yolanda Condonassis, whose artistry we hear all the time and is now available on a great best of compilation on Azika. And we're on the phone with her right now. Good afternoon.
Hi there. So nice to be with you.
Well, it's we've known your artistry for years, and so it's hard for me to pin down one favorite. I love the Hovannis. I like Breck Shang. Of course, I'm a bit of a modernist myself. But how did you go about selecting this best of compilation?
Well, you know, it was really, it was like looking back through photo albums, because, you know, there are about 15 albums to sort through. And, you know, honestly, we probably could have put together three or four, you know, of these best of albums. But for now, I just wanted to put together music that was very listenable, and, you know, didn't sort of take the ear on a knee-jerk journey, and yet still really was a great collection of versatile music that sort of kept the ear engaged, you know, not a lot of monotony of style or genre. So I'm really happy with the way this turned out and the flow of the album. And it's just, you know, mainly every single track on this album is a great memory for me. It, like I said, it's like looking at a snapshot, and I can remember the sessions and the city we recorded in, and the challenges and the little triumphs along the way. And you know, so it means a lot to me to be able to put these together in one place and share it with my listeners.
Well, we're tickled with this best of, and I can't believe it's been 20 years.
I can't either. You know? My gosh.
I don't know where the time has gone.
Well, I started when I was 9, so.
Exactly.
That's right. In the womb, I started.
The 17th album can be with Jack Benny, or be some Jack Benny, some Jack Benny classics, right?
My duets hot album with Frank Sinatra, right?
Yeah, the Hot Canary and all that sort of old shtick. So, well,
right.
It's a lovely album, and we're tickled to be doing some contests with that. And something that I wasn't aware of is this passion for the earth, and I was tickled to see Our House Is Round out, and I'm curious how this whole project started.
Well, you know, I've always been sort of a closet writer, and you know, this, you know, I guess as these things tend to happen, it all sort of evolved as a, I wouldn't say an accident, but sort of a multi-leveled process of growing in momentum. But a couple of years ago, I just was looking around for a book, a children's book for my own daughter, who at the time was 7. Thinking, you know, she's being taught all this stuff at school that it's, you know, good to recycle and, you know, plant a tree day and, you know, use less energy. But she really hadn't a clue as to, you know, why she was doing these things and why it was important and, you know, how it really impacted the world and the health of the earth by doing these things. And so I went looking, you know, went to my local Barnes & Noble and thought, well, I can pick up this book in about 5 minutes. And couldn't find anything. Looked on the web, couldn't find anything there, really explaining in kid-friendly terms the whys of earth conservation for kids in about the K through 4 age group. Tons of science books for the middle school age, but that is not really going to fly for somebody in the second grade. You know, at first, I just thought, well, maybe I could put a little something together you know, just have it be more of a pamphlet style to go in these earth art kits that I was doing as part of my nonprofit foundation called Earth at Heart, which inspires earth awareness through the arts. And I was putting together these kits and thought, well, we need a little bit of some sort of a text to go with it. And I could also, you know, achieve the purpose of making something for my daughter and a few of her friends at the same time. And, you know, like so many things do, it grew, well, we need pictures. And, oh, gosh, you know, kids like color, so let's add some color. And it grew from a pamphlet to a book, which I brought out 2 years ago, and that sort of picked up some steam and got some nice attention and led to now this new sort of full-fledged edition that is coming out this April in time for Earth Day. And the book is called Our House is Round, and it's a beautiful hardcover, full-color illustrated book put out by Skyhorse Publishing in New York. And I'm really excited about it because, you know, it's been such a, it's been a two-year process and watching it evolve in small increments and now having something that I feel really proud for children in that K through 4 age group to, you know, to learn in a kid-friendly way, you know, why we need to use less energy and, you know, where pollution comes from and, you know, what things that we recycle get turned into and what happens if we don't, you know, and, you know, discussion of the rainforest and all the things that I think kids can really relate to. I am in awe of the intelligence of kids. I think that the minute you start talking down to a kid, they'll spot you in a second and call you on it. So, you know, this book, I guess you could call it is my ode to the intelligence of kids and, you know, helping them find motivation for all those things we tell them to do.
And I think there's a nice parallel that, you know, we think about classical music, whether it relaxes us or help us focus, the idea of a young person learning an instrument and the idea of teamwork, mm-hmm. putting in effort, this whole idea of, you know, practice and
right.
beauty and that sort of thing. When that happens at a young age, that certainly can be a good impression. And as you say, that there were, you know, sort of science books for the middle school age, that idea of an impressionable elementary school child might have an effect on their life and maybe be able to change them because we are all in this sort of a picture, whether it's recycling, turning off a light, any of that sort of thing could help maybe with patterns in this sort of raise the awareness at a young age.
Oh, I so believe that. You know, what you say is so true because, you know, as a musician, I know, and you know, it's, you know, fairly well-documented fact that if you do anything that you want to be absolute habit in your life, you know, whether it's dance or music, anything that requires habit has to be started, you know, young to really become part of your fabric. And, you know, for me, you know, I certainly started playing the piano when I was 3 years old. So to me, I don't really know anything but the sensation of playing music, you know, in terms of the way my body is it, you know, responds to things. I, you know, I type on the computer as if I'm playing the piano. I grab a glass, you know, with good hand position. You know, it's just, it's built into now my fiber. And I think in that same way, to introduce these concepts of respecting the earth at an early age and just a little bit of the, of, you know, the whys that kids can understand, you know, just increases motivation. You know, I also teach at the Cleveland Institute in Oberlin Conservatory, and you know, the teacher in me is very, very big on the idea of finding a genuine motivation for doing things. I will never tell my student, just do it. Just, you know, shut up and do it. I will never, ever tell my daughter or my students that. I insist that they understand why they're doing things because I think that is a huge enhancement to motivation. You know, the same goes for the earth. If kids start early knowing that, well, if I don't do this, there will be a cause and effect relationship. You know, and one of the first things I address, in fact, the first thing I address in this book of mine, is the global connection. Before I even get into talking about, you know, any of the earth matters, I talk about how, you know, we are a big round planet. And if we push the mess away from us, eventually it will just work its way right back around to us because that's what happens when you live on a round surface. And, you know, I think teaching that global connection is one of the most important things we can do because even adults, for heaven's sakes, we will say, oh, you know what, that's a really long way away from us. We don't need to worry about Japan. But, you know, as we know, a lot of the debris from, you know, the nuclear disaster and the earthquake in Japan recently, you know, found its way to the coast of the United States. So that's how it works. And I think more that, you know, we can understand about that and teach our children how we are all connected, the better we will all be for it.
Absolutely. Well, it's a new book coming out just in time for Earth Day. And this wonderful journey that's happened, as you said, from sort of looking for materials and a pamphlet to a book to now a full-fledged sort of, you know, hard copy. How is it to, what were some of your reactions and emotions seeing all these wonderful illustrations from Joan Brush and getting the book for the first time, the final product?
Well, just the process of you know, working with Joan Brush and the illustrations was just enormous fun. She is not only an amazing artist and one of the most creative people I've met, but, you know, it was just, downright fun doing it. It's very different from my day job. So it was, just a great process from start to finish. And, I would love to do some more of this, you know, as time permits. Seeing this book, you know, whenever you have something that's taken a long time and had a long process, you know, no matter how fun the process is, there's a great feeling when you actually hold that result. And in this case, I must say it was a little melancholy too, because I had enjoyed doing it so much, thinking, oh well, this one's done. I guess when you enjoy the process, it means that it's a good fit for your sensibilities. So maybe I'll do another one sometime.
Oh yeah, I could easily imagine a magic harp or some sort of follow-up on these sort of things. You know,
I really believe in that age, that K-4 magical age, where if you have something to teach, that is the time to introduce it. And I could see kind of running with this idea a little.
Oh, cool. Well, we certainly hope so. I might even draw a parallel that. The process may not be too different than when Bright Shang has a blank page in front of him and, you know, they create it and he gives it to you and the orchestra and you guys all come together to create something and
score
that, and, you know.
Yeah. Creating a new piece is a huge process, you know, and, but then when you think of something like, you know, the Panama Canal, you realize that these processes are relatively small in comparison, but, humans can, come together and make some pretty good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, Earth Day is coming, folks. What's the easiest? Probably yolandaharp.com to find out more about these sort of things?
Uh-huh. There's yolandaharp.com. And then also the book has its own website, which is ourhouseisroundonline.com. And then, both the book and the CD are available at all the usual outlets of, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can also get it from both these websites. I mentioned Yolanda Harp and Our House is Round Online. So won't be hard to find.
Oh, very cool. Anything particular you're doing in Ohio this Earth Day?
I am, actually. I'm giving an Earth Day concert. I have just started a really fun new collaboration with the guitarist Jason Vio, and we are doing our duo debut concert on Earth Day, and we're featuring the Hovhaannis piece Spirit of Trees, which is an original piece for harp and guitar, as well as some other really cool repertoire for harp and guitar. And so that will be a fun way to celebrate the day.
Well, Yolanda, congratulations. These are wonderful projects, and we can't wait for more.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for the time and support. I appreciate it.